Thank you so much, Reggie. And I do want to welcome you as well on the behalf of the church and New York Gospel Ministries. And it is a delight to have you here. Reggie mentioned that we were in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And I'll never forget the day. I had a friend of mine who had planted a church in Brooklyn and came into Manhattan, wanted to plant another church here, called me on the phone. I found out later that he had called a number of men that I knew on the phone and said, "Will you come take a church I have in Brooklyn? I'd like to start one in Manhattan." I was on the phone. This is true. I was on the phone less than 5 minutes with him. I said, "There is no way I'm leaving Western North Carolina and going to New York City." I should have said, "There's no way I'm leaving Western North Carolina and going to the Bahamas." But, and then a few months later, I had a man call me on the phone. His name, he's with the Lord now, A.J. Overton. He was the director of the New York Mission to the Jews, one of the oldest outreach missions to New York City. Started in 1895 on the other side of town. And he said, "Bill, I'd like to come to your church and answer a little girl who sent me a letter from the Awana program in your church." And so he came. First time I'd met him in person, I'd seen his picture. We had a family in our church that was supporting the New York mission. And so he sat in the men's Sunday school class, talked about the ministry here in New York, preached in the morning service. We took him out for lunch. And as we were eating lunch, he looked at me across the table and he said, "Bill, I believe you're my replacement in New York City." Now, we had just built a 3,600 square foot home in Hendersonville, North Carolina. We thought we were going to be there for the rest of our life. Matter of fact, three of our four immediate neighbors were New Yorkers. That's where they retired. And I'm leaving it. And so the Lord began to work in our heart. And I said, "Lord, what are you trying to ask us to do?" And I remembered, Reggie, what the Lord had said. "If you are willing to leave houses and lands and father and mother for my sake in the gospel," God said, "I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to open up homes and opportunities to you." Well, we came up to New York City, my youth pastor and I, and asked the director of the mission if we could stay there. We stayed for several days. I'd never been in New York City before, fourth largest in the world, largest in the United States, one of the most diverse cities in the world. And I'll never forget getting on top of the Empire State Building. It was night, and I saw the tens of thousands of lights everywhere. And God began to tug on my heart. He said, "Lord, those lights represent people." We planned a mission trip for our teenagers, came that next summer, and spent a week here in the city, in the parks, on the street corners, passing out gospel tracts, singing and preaching. Do you realize that you can get a sound permit from the police department here in New York City? You can go to the center of Times Square. You can go to 45th and Broadway, the center of Times Square, for $45, and for several hours sing and preach with amplified sound. And we've done that many times over the year. Tremendous opportunities here in the city. Well, when we got back to Hendersonville from that mission trip, my wife was there in the parking lot to greet us. One of the sponsors and his wife got out of the van. This lady went right up to my wife, Jill, and she said, "Jill, you're moving to New York City." I didn't even know that. So to make a long story short, God in his grace directed us to resign from the ministry we were pastoring in Western North Carolina and make our way here to the city to begin to help reopen the New York mission across town. And we were there for a number of years when I had a family who was attending our services come up to me and said, "Pastor, there is a tsunami in New York City." And this was right after the tsunami in Indonesia. I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" They said, "There is a tsunami in New York City. There are people here that don't have enough food to eat. Can we start a food pantry?" And I'll be honest with you, The first thing that came to my mind is, no, we can't do that. That's a social gospel. We don't do things like that. We don't feed people. We don't provide clothes for people. We don't open up clinics. We don't start hospitals. That's not what we do. We just preach. That's all we do. Well, the Lord began to work on my heart, and I'll never forget the day I read Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17, 18, and 19, when God says he's the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And then he says, I show my love by giving food and clothes. And that is why Jesus said, don't be anxious about what you will eat or wear, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. And that's why the half-brother of Christ, James, writes that your religion is worthless if you can tell someone to be warmed and filled. It's the theology of the book of Deuteronomy and the love of God. I've come to discover something that probably all of you know in here. It took me many years to discover that the book of Deuteronomy is really a key to understanding the entire Bible. If you understand the message of the book of Deuteronomy, you understand the message of the entire book. One of the most quoted books in the Old Testament, one of the most quoted books in the New Testament. It's in that same book where God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wasn't shortly after that I was reading in the prophet Isaiah and came to the 58th chapter, and God says, this is the kind of fast that I want. He wants a fast that deals with justice and a fast that feeds the hungry and clothes the naked. I said, Lord, I'm seeing things in your book that I've never seen before. Lord, you want me to learn to love my neighbor. The greatest command is to love you with all my heart, and the second greatest is to love my neighbor is myself. You want me to love my neighbor, and Lord, who's my neighbor? And of course, the disciples asked the Lord that, and the Lord said, gave him the story of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor is anyone who has a need. You love your neighbor by meeting people's needs. And then I discovered that one of the reasons God asked us to do this is because he's loved us so much that he's met our greatest need. Well, I agreed to help start that pantry. And I'll never forget the day we started it. It was the end of January, a very bitter, cold winter day. We were going to have a distribution on a Tuesday afternoon at 12. We didn't have much to give, but the Bowery Mission, a very famous mission here in town, had offered to bring us some bread. And so they had some bread and a few apples and a few bananas. That's all we had that first Tuesday. 9:30 in the morning, some of the people said, Pastor, come across the street in the park. The mission was on the Avenue B across from Tompkins Square Park in the Lower East Side. And I went out there at 9:30 in the morning, and out there was an elderly lady standing with a walker, and another man seated in a wheelchair. This was 2.5 hours before the pantry. And God broke my heart. And he said, if these elderly people are willing to wait outside in the dead of winter to get a few loaves and apples and bananas, there must be a tremendous need. And that's how we started. I'll never forget several weeks later, when we had next to nothing to give. And one of the men went back to the Bowery Mission to ask if they had anything extra they could give us. He went in, they said, no, we don't have anything. And as he was leading, he met the director at the door. And the director said, sure, I've got something for you, come on in. Took him into the back and gave him 5 boxes of smelt fish. You know those little smelt? I mean, these things were just oozing. And they put those 5 boxes in the back of my white van on top of my carpet and drove them across town. And we had bread and we had fish. And God broke my heart again. And God said, listen, I'm still God. The same God of thousands of years ago is the same God of 2017. And for many months, my van stunk to remind me that God still shows his love by giving food and clothes. I found out that the Bowery Mission was getting their donations from the Trader Joe's. There was one Trader Joe's store in Manhattan at the time, and so I went and introduced myself, met some of the managers, and filled out their paperwork for our 501c3 corporation. And they said, we'll call you when we need you to come pick us up, do a pickup. There were 30 organizations, 30 not-for-profits picking up food from Trader Joe's store here in Manhattan. And every week or two, we'd get a phone call, and we would go with our van, pick up whatever they have, take it back to the mission, and add it to our pantry. That's how we got started. More and more people started to come. And ours was just not a pantry, because they would come in, sit down, and in a meeting. We had an evangelistic chapel meeting for these people. And then after the meeting, we would have their cart loaded with food from Trader Joe's, and then they would go home. Trader Joe's came to us and said, we're going to narrow down from 30 people to 15. And God kept us in the mix. And he continued to give us more food. And more people come. Before we moved from across town, we had 9 services a week, 9 evangelistic pantry services, and hundreds of thousands of food is coming in. Trader Joe's said, we're going to narrow it down to 5 organizations. And God kept us in the mix. And then they came back and said, we're going to narrow it down to 1 organization. And God kept us in the mix. You see, God still shows his love by giving food and clothes. And they opened up another Trader Joe's store, and the manager said, will you come do our donations? So I said, yes, since we started doing donations from 2 stores. And then they opened a 3rd store, and I said, well, we can't do your donations, but I said, we'll come for a few weeks, help you open up your store, give you time to get other not-for-profits in. And so we did that and kept 2 of the pickups. And then they opened up a 4th store last summer. And the management said, would you come do our donations? And so we dropped the 3rd store, picked up the 4th store. We oversee 50 pantry pickups every single week. But it doesn't all come here. We've built a network of other not-for-profits that this food goes to. Last year, Trader Joe's donated to our mission $2.4 million worth of food. And in 2015, they donated $2.2 million worth of food. I've got the tax papers I sign every year. I'll show them to you. 9 services over there. The mission, when I came to town, had a significant debt. The mission had to sell its building to take care of that debt. We didn't know where we were going to go, but God did. And he brought us across town and opened up this space to Covenant Mercy Mission and the New York Gospel Ministries. And we're very thankful for that. Now we don't have to do 9 services, but we have 5 services a week. And we discovered that we had a problem. These people were coming. They would sit in all our English services, but not everybody understood English. You see, the 2nd largest population here in New York City are Spanish speakers. And then the 3rd largest are Asians. And so we had a lot of Asians and Spanish coming to our English services, and we weren't reaching them with the gospel. And so we had this problem, and so we said, what can we do to solve it? And so the Lord increased the partnership that the New York Gospel Ministries had with Sermon Audio. And Stephen and I sat down, and we began to say, Lord, how can we start solving this problem? We don't have the funds to hire a Chinese preacher. We don't have the funds to hire a Spanish preacher. How can we solve this? Until God sends those preachers. And so the concept of the International Gospel Preaching Station came to the front. And so using video sermons in different languages, we've begun to start reaching the different ethnic people here in New York City. We have a Chinese pastor. You'll see him in a moment on a video. We're going to show you a short video. He records sermons. The first series was in the Gospel of John. Now he's in the book of Romans. And he FaceTimes with us. every Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning, interacts with the congregation, and then we play his video sermon. And he's come to visit. We do the same thing with Spanish. Matter of fact, Pastor Marcus Reyes is right over here, missionary in Mexico. He FaceTimes with the Spanish congregation, and we're playing his video sermons in the Gospel of John. And he was here for the service yesterday and preached to them in person. They were thrilled to have him here. And I've just watched this congregation interact with him in FaceTime. I remember a couple of weeks ago when a man came up and the tears coming down his eyes as he's standing from the computer. He wanted to get as close as he could to Pastor Marcus, and Pastor Marcus was able to minister to him. We have got hundreds of languages here in this city that we want to touch these people. And so we are going to trust the Lord to be able to add more language groups and see this space used for the gospel of the kingdom. This is strategic space. We're in Manhattan. We're in Midtown Manhattan, in a building that's over 150 years old. And when you mention the prayer revivals, you know that Lanthier began his ministry right around the corner, reaching children right around the corner here in the Hell's Kitchen area. I cannot help but believe that some of the people praying during the period of that revival were praying right here in this building. This is strategic territory for the advancement of the gospel of God. 62 million people visit New York City every single year. 50 million for the continental United States. You want to reach America? You can stand in Times Square and rub shoulders with everybody from the United States. You want to reach the world? 12 million people every year come from around the world. We are asking God to build a tremendous network of partners so that we can see effective ministry flow from this space. When the mission sold its building on the other side of town, any residual they had left over from the paying of their debt came into the fixing up of this building, and we brought it to where it is today. There's a lot more that needs to be done in this space. And there's a lot more ministry that needs to take place in this space. New York Gospel Ministries has mission teams that come every summer. They spend a week with us here learning the theology of the gospel, learning the message of imputed righteousness. When the Lord opened up my heart to that message, it set me free to share the gospel. I almost felt like I got saved again when I understood that message. Nothing like good Reformed theology to bring us the gospel of God. And so we're thankful and grateful to what God has given us here and the opportunities that God has given us. So with that, let's just show that a preaching station video, and we trust that God will speak to you, your hearts, and maybe lead you to help partner with us. New York City is an extremely strategic city in the kingdom of God. 180 different languages are represented in this city. It's the fourth largest city in the world, one of the most ethnically diverse cities in the world, largest city in the United States. It's the crossroads of the world. We're right here in the middle of Manhattan. We have the World Trade Center, international banking, international commerce. 56 million people visit New York City every single year. 12 million of them from outside the country. A city of immigrants, a city of visitors, and an opportunity to touch the entire world. The Lord gave us an opportunity to share not only the gospel of God, but really the love of God through beneficial deeds. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 18, the Bible says that God shows His love
by giving food and clothes. And that's why Jesus said, don't be anxious about what you'll eat or wear, because your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. That's why James says that your religion's worthless if you can tell someone to be warmed and be filled. And that theology of the love of God, we're seeing demonstrated here in the ministry. And so we have been collecting donations from the local Trader Joe's store here in our city. And we begin to distribute it to the elderly and the poor, the widows, people that are low income, people that are working and yet don't have sufficient income to provide for all of their needs. And yet, if you can only provide food without getting them the gospel, then we don't understand what God said also in Deuteronomy when it said, God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we have coupled the giving of God's gospel and the sharing of the word of God with the love of God through beneficial deeds. Began these evangelistic services, they were all in English. And we started to discover something, that many of the people coming to these services were not understanding or hearing the gospel. And so we have the problem. We speak English. A quarter of New York City speaks Spanish. The largest Asian population outside of Asia living in New York City. So how do they reach them? They're coming to our services. And so we have begun a project. The New York Gospel Ministries is working with Sermon Audio to try to solve this issue that we're facing in the city. We began to partner with a Chinese pastor in Texas and a missionary in Mexico, and they are taping for us video sermons in the Gospel of John. We've asked them to preach evangelistically, a sermon in each chapter, and then project them on a 9-foot by 16-foot screen in our auditorium during these language services. And our desire is to add additional languages as we have these opportunities with other churches who can help us in our international preaching station efforts. When the Lord left us 2,000 years ago, He gave His people, His church, a command. And His last command must be our first concern, not only to reach our Jerusalem and our Judea, but the uttermost parts of the world. And the Lord has brought the world to New York City. They're living here, they're visiting here. And this city becomes a unique opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ to touch the world with us. Our passion is to see that the message of the gift of righteousness in Christ is preached to the world. Come and share our vision. Let us share your burden too. God bless you.
We really see an opportunity to see churches planted here in the city. You imagine having a group of 50, 60 people that are gathering already, and the Lord sends us a pastor to pastor the Spanish church, and then a pastor to pastor a Chinese church, and then just add any other language group. And we have access to this space 24/7. We'd have a different service every few hours. Getting them in and out. I want to leave these few thoughts with you in a couple of minutes that God has put on my heart from the book of Titus that are guiding me with reference to the beneficial deed ministry. Things I've never seen before. Again, many readings of the Word of God, but not seeing things. There is a tremendous emphasis in Titus on beneficial deeds. You know, Ephesians 2:8, for a gracious save through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everybody knows that verse, but no one bothers to memorize the next one. Or His workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus unto beneficial deeds. In Titus's letter, Paul's letter to Titus, he tells the young men that they're supposed to be examples of good deeds. And then three verses I just want to read. Looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why did he do that? To redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good deeds. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. For these things are good and profitable for men. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs so that they will not be fruitful. So God is teaching me to love my neighbor and do something that will meet their pressing need. And it opens up an opportunity to see the Word of God touch their life. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask Andy to come, and he's going to lead us in a song.
Good morning. Let's stand together and sing Arise, My Soul, Arise, number 20 in your booklets. I'd just like to point out that the second verse, the wording is not what many of us have grown up with, so just be alert to that. And let's keep the song moving and sing your hearts out.
Arise, my soul.